message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Take heed how you hear. And sight, what can you see? You see, I have no... Let me go ahead of myself. Look at this. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9 now says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So now the question is, and one of the rules of hermeneutics is this. When an incident in the old covenant is referenced, oftentimes the teacher or the writer at that time may not necessarily elaborate on it anymore. You will just reference it. So the wisdom is, for you to get the import, you have to go to the story. That's why Bible study is hard work. It's not something you're going to just leap over and skim through. So now question is, let's go to Genesis 19. Notice he cited Lot's experience as an example to how the believers, the righteous, are delivered by God from temptation. So I want us to go to Genesis 19 and see. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story to us. I'm sure many of us growing up in our various churches, Orthodox church or wherever, except you have done one of those that used to run away from children's church. Someone like me, except you want to run away from children's church, you used to run to adult church. I don't know if you know, every one of us always thought we were adults right from childhood. We just never want to agree that we were children. Praise God. To run away from child church, children's church. In fact, in my own church, they used to have this juvenile harvest. I would say, no, I'm not participating. I mean, I'm adult. Adult. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Genesis 19. We all know the story, of course. These people in this land, they were into several vices, crazy things like homosexualism, lesbianism. They were into all sorts. They were gluttons. They were all sorts. And now God was not happy with it and he wanted to put an end to it. Then in verse 15, so when they approached the city to destroy the city, Lot saw them from afar. And because the righteous man, he went to them, knelt down, said, can I wash your leg? The same way Abraham also welcomed them. Because when they were first coming, in the previous chapter, chapter 13 through 14, when they were first coming, they passed through Abraham's house. Abraham welcomed them, all right? Washed their feet. It turned out to be that one of them is the Lord himself. And the two guys on the other side are angels. And he made a pronouncement. He says, by this time of season, he says, Sarah will give birth. The Bible says they laughed. And that's why the writer of the book of Hebrews told us in Hebrews 13 and verse 2, he says, don't be tired of entertaining strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. That also means that angels have the permission of God to appear in a human form. By the way, angels are not immortal. Don't worry, we won't do eschatologies. We'll do that. All right. So now let's go on. Genesis 19 and verse 15. That's a good place I want to start quickly. Just a few verses, three verses, then we get the point. It says, and when the morning arose, then the angel hastened the Lot. I'm sure you know the story, right? They wanted to abuse them. They said they came to knock on Noah's house. Lot's house. And say, bring those new guys I will notice that came to your house last night. We want to sleep with them. Lot says, hey, please don't do this. These are my own personal visitors. Okay, my daughters are virgin. Let me give them to you. You can do whatever you want to do to them. But these ones, don't abuse them. The Bible says they were breaking the door with force. That's what the Bible says. They were breaking the door. And then the angel came out, made them gods. That was the first time blindness was struck on people, on human beings. They were blind. He made them blind. And instantly in verse 15, as the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. While Lot was still doing, he was still trying to waste time, the angel grabbed his hand. He laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, the angel. He held his hand like this. You know, angels don't get strength from food. The Bible says they excel in strength. Psalms 103 from verse 19 to 20. It says they excel in strength. One angel can finish a whole city. Phew! That's where they work. They're never tired. He grabbed his hand, grabbed the wife's hand like this. And upon the hand of his two daughters. I can imagine how the angel did. You can just imagine. He grabbed his hand, grabbed his wife's hand, the two daughters too. He grabbed them together like this. Hold them. The Bible says, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. That means the angel took them out of the city. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Does this sound like Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 18? When he said, flee fornication. He said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. This is, now don't forget, Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, for the Lord knoweth how he delivers the godly from temptations. Do we know more than God? Come on, talk to me. Peter says the Lord knoweth. And the example that Peter cited in this case was the instance where Lot was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, question is, how did God deliver Lot from temptations that befalls him right there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Don't worry, Lot, keep confessing God's word. Is that what he did? No, he took him out of the city. And he gave him instruction. He says, escape for your life. Run to the mountain top. Don't look back. In other words, burn your bridges. This is God's recipe for delivering righteous from temptations. Yes, I know you're born again. Yes, I know, yeah, you're born again. You have the life of God in you. But hey, you can't keep having the phone number of that sugar daddy. No, you have to delete it, block him. No WhatsApp chats. No. Yes, I know. Yeah, you have the life of God in you. You're born again. Yes, if you have to sell that phone that normally make you, or stop buying data that makes you keep skimming on XX rated movies, or make you skimming on XX rated website and still keep feeding on pawns, you have to put it off. That's God's recipe. And this is what we see consistent with Jesus. We see consistent with God. In the book of Exodus, do you know that it will take just few days for them to leave Egypt and go to the promised land? In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that from Kadesh Barnea, which is just the border to the promised land, we take 11 days. And from Egypt to the promised land itself ought to take actually 40 days. But guess what? They took 40 years. And do you know what God did? Let me show you. Open to Exodus 13. Exodus 13 quickly. Exodus 13. And verse 17, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when Pharaoh had let the people go, you all know the story, that means after one plague, after the other, until the 10th plague, and the last plague was when their firstborn died, right? Am I right? Good. that God let them not look at it. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near. For God said, who said? God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Do you understand this? God decided not to make them pass through the way of Philistines, because if they approach Philistines and the Philistines wage war against them, they might be afraid and go back to Egypt, the very place God delivered them from. In other words, what God did was to make them pass through the Red Sea, so that if they see war, they won't have any reason to want to go back, because they know that there is Red Sea. Are you following what I'm saying? So what God did was that God took them out of the temptation, not for them to manage in the temptation. No, that's not God's recipe. He burnt the bridge behind them, so that if the urge comes up later, knocking, they won't go back to their vomit. Look at it. Verse 18 says, but God led the people about, verse 18, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up and nest out of the land of Egypt. Hey, this is simple. We have seen these two examples. There was an easier route in Exodus 13 for God's children to go from Egypt to the promised land. It would take fewer days, but no, God made them pass through the Red Sea. Why? He said because if he made them pass through the road of the Philistine, they might see war and go back to Egypt. In other words, God burnt the bridge behind them, so they won't have any reason to want to go back to their vomit. The same way from the example we saw in 2 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, for God knows how to deliver the righteous from temptations. And the example we just saw right here in Genesis 19 was very simple. God took Lot out from Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't tell him to stay there and keep confessing and righteousness of God. God is my strength. No, he took him out from there. In fact, he says, flee, escape for your life. That is God's recipe. His recipe is he burns the bridge behind you. So if you are a lady, you're born again, now you are in Christ, you are renewing your mind, you can't keep having the phone number of that sugar daddy. You can't keep having the phone number of that sugar mommy. Delete it. Block him. Block her. Get out of that place. That is the recipe. Paul said, flee. Glory to God. And you've got to know that this is God's recipe. There are no two ways about it. There are no two ways. I remember when I was in university, I used to have this lady. She lives in our compound, on our street. I don't want to talk so much about her because some people might hear this and they will be able to guess who she was. She's married now with kids. But hey, she was older than me for about 11 years or thereabout. And she was just on me. I said, what? She was telling me, you know what? Where do you want to go? London? I'll take you there. I said, ah! Spoil my destiny. I deleted her number. I blocked her. I didn't even know all this then. That's God's recipe. Somebody walked up to me, and these are personal, I've shared this with you. Somebody walked up to me and said, well, Pastor, why is it that you don't have, that was 2018, you know, just a year after we started the church. Pastor, why is that you don't have a TV in your room and so on and so forth? I said, I don't need it. Because I was already getting interested, all right, while I was growing up, I was already getting interested in watching Kim Kardashian. The reality show. And it's always on E. Never mind. So listen, you have to burn your bridges. That's God's recipe. There was a young guy one time, 2018, thereabout. I'm sure you'll be watching us by the time we upload the video. He came to me and said, man of God, you see, So person has prayed for me. This person has prayed for me. Then he mentioned one man of God again that have laid hands on him. I said, hey, and you want me to come and lay hands on you again? I said, in fact, right now you should be the one laying hands on me. He's that kind of great man that has the biggest church in the world. I've mentioned him. The biggest church so far has laid hands on you. And you want me to come and lay hands on you too? I said, no, kukuma kimi. You won't sap my anointing again with that. Just joking anyway. Praise God. I mean, this dad arranged for them to meet such great man of God so that they would lay hands on him. He was addicted to pornography. I said, if that kind of man has laid hands on you and nothing changed, I said, what does that tell you? That tells you it's not in laying of hands. It's on simple biblical principles. I said, now the first thing you're going to do, I said, do you know if I tell you what to do, you'll do what to do? He said, yes, sir. I said, go and sell this phone. Sell it. He sold it. Go and buy touchlight phone. He bought touchlight phone. As I speak to you today, he's so free that now he has a blog helping others who are addicted to pornography in a university campus. It's simple. I told you two things, the power of sight and sound. There are no two ways about it. And the trouble is, the moment you keep feeding on that object of temptation or addiction, as the case may be, you have something in your mind telling you, this is the last time I will do it. It's a lie. It won't go. It will grow. And this is why we have a lot of, you know, and see, there are a lot of people who, they say they are Christocentric, redemption. Yeah, I'm Christocentric too. And that's why I told you, you see, you have to know what you believe. Hey, it's okay for you to make mistake for the first time. Second time. But hey, you are doing it every week. Doing the same thing every week, every two days. And then you are saying you are the righteousness of God. Keep the shout up. There ain't no confession needed there anymore. Burn your bridge. That's God's recipe. Don't be deceived. Paul said flee. You gotta flee. That's some common sense there. Joseph didn't wait there trying to convince the woman. He fled. So, this is God's recipe. There are no two ways about it. Don't be deceived. Don't say, let's apply wisdom. Forget wisdom. This is God's wisdom. Flee. For some people, it's gluttony. And you are living alone. You know, anytime you cook that food to the brim in your pot, you sit down in the kitchen. Some of you just finish everything. Cook soup of 3,000 naira, and then you finish it at once. No wonder you get married. You always ask for soup money, now they reach you. How do I go? Start by cooking a meal. Yes. Cook meal, not food. That means what you eat at once. I don't know. You know, some people, they used to ask, Pastor, I don't know, my prayer life is going down. When last did you pray? Last month. And I'm like, and you are wondering why your prayer life has gone down? Do you think this thing is a magic? Hey, wait, do you think we preachers, we have some super, we are extraterrestrial being? There are no two ways about it. If you don't pray, your prayer life will go down. It's as simple as that. The way to learn to pray is to pray. You don't say, we have start setting by, set an alarm. Am I preaching good? Yes, sir. Some of you are feeling like, is this the law or the grace? You're on your own. This is for life. Praise the Lord. So, I want to give you just two approaches that will help you to temptations. And you see, this approach, the first one, I've taught this before. But you see, you can never get tired of hearing this. Especially in a church like this, where you have a lot of youth people, and myself being a youth, alright, just in my early 30s, and of course, the people I reach out to mostly are also youth. So, you can't stop hearing stuff like this. And the first thing I want to give you is, number one, quit the blame game. Quit the blame game. Stop. You see, the moment you are still on the blame issue, you're blaming it on internet, you are blaming it on other people's nudity. Hey, why are people not raping themselves on the beach? People go to beach, right? And they wear scanty clothes. So why are they not caprices in bleach in the beach? Or why are there no reports that people are raping mad naked women on the streets? So quit the blame game. And this is the best perspective I have seen in scripture given by Pastor James. Look at Pastor James in James 1. Pastor James tells us in James 1 and verse 13, he says, when someone is tempted, he should not say, I am being tempted by God. Now, this is the perfect beginning. The mindset that you must add, that first thing, this temptation is not from God. He says, when someone is tempted, he should not say, I am being tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, verse 14 now says, instead, each one is tempted by his own lust, his own desire, being lured and trapped by it. You see, you were trapped by your own lust. Verse 15 now says, when that desire becomes pregnant, it gives birth to sin. And when that sin grows up, it gives birth to death. So, temptations, according to James here, alright, has nothing to do with the object of temptation. Temptation, according to James here, simply means your inward faulty disposition to neutral circumstances. So that means the circumstances that warrant or that you are blaming it on for the reason why you fell into temptation is not the issue. The issue is you have a faulty inward disposition to that circumstances. The circumstances that were supposed to make you stronger has now become a temptation to you because you already had an inward faulty disposition to it. It's because you already have an inward faulty disposition to sex. And that's why a lady dressing scanty attracted you to raping her. How do you even say rape? I don't believe that rape is temptation. It's something planned out. It's something you've thought of. And that's why when I see people, all right, especially married folks, when I get to counsel married folks, and then they say things like, he's a bastard. He has cheated on me and stuff like that. I kind of, share in their sorrow and so on and so forth. But then, I look at it this way. When you see somebody commit such vices, that's why Jesus in Matthew 5:28, he says that if a man looks into a woman with a lustful eyes, Jesus himself, the grace personified himself, he said he has committed that thing in his heart. Why? Because Jesus knows that your heart is the place of reality. In other words, if you were defeated in your heart already, a lot of people are fighting many issues while they are alone in their room. They are fighting that picture of, molestation, fighting that picture of, sexual immorality. But because they lost the battle, for some people it takes 2 years. For some it's 1 year. They've been battling the picture in their mind. Now what happened is it gets to a crescendo where their mind can't take it anymore. Their willpower is left helpless. So what happened is when the situation now presents itself to them, they give in to it. It is not when they gave in to that immorality. It is not when they gave in to that sexual vice that they actually did it. They've been doing it for 2 years, 1 year, 2 months, but they lost the battle in their mind. So when the situation presents itself, they gave in. Their emotion, their exercising of willpower has been lost. So they gave in to it and became a victim. So that is not when it happened. It happened long ago. So there is nothing a man does that wasn't out from their preconceived notion, preconceived thought, or something that they have actually premeditated, whether consciously or unconsciously. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 15 from verse 11 through 19. He says, nothing that a man does that was not first premeditated, either consciously or unconsciously. He says, these evil vices come from the heart. It's from the heart. And in this social media world that we are in, we've got to be very careful. Honestly, if not for the gospel's sake, I wouldn't have any business doing anything on social media. I'm telling you. Because, you know, there's also a way you might try want to separate yourself from the world, the same world you want to reach. It's not possible. And that's why I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Even, do you know LinkedIn? The kind of things happening on LinkedIn now. LinkedIn that was made for professionals. People are still putting nudes on it. LinkedIn, that was meant for you to advertise your potential so that your normal or anybody that wants to employ you will see you. So temptations are simply our personal, our faulty inward personal disposition to neutral circumstances. And that's why the object of addiction, as it were in quotes, differs with different people. Because the issue is not the object. The issue is the faulty inward disposition. He says, if anyone is tempted, he says, it is your own lust. What is lust? Lust is a desire in the wrong direction. He says, it's your inward lust that drew you to it, not the situation. Glory to God. And that's why James uses temptations and test and trial. He uses them together. Why? They are one and the same. Because trials are meant to actually make your faith strong. They are supposed to try your faith. It's just like, for instance, if you have a bulletproof, all right? It's good that no attempt is made at you. But how do you even prove that the bulletproof is working well? Somebody shoots you, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So tests and trials, or what you eventually call temptation because of your own faulty disposition to that situation, was actually in the first place meant to test proof, all right, the walls around you. Do you get what I'm saying? When Satan was spoken to God, as it was related to us in the book of Job, he says, why won't he keep worshipping you? You have built a wall around him. How did the devil come up with that idea? Because he has tried entering and he couldn't. That's why he said so. He said, you have built a wall around him, an hedge. That's the right word. See, in this end time, are you hearing me? You have to be a fireproof. You must stay fired. With so much, you know, battling with our generation. I told you before, and the reason why I'm specifically, you know, focusing more on sexual related matters is because of, I know that is the most greatest object of addiction and temptation in our time today. I'm talking to you 2 years ago, right there in Abuja. I was barely 29, and then I was talking to a teenager. And the teenage girl made me shy. A teenager, I was almost double her age. I told her I'm a chaste. She said, huh? Now, wow. I'm like, that's what the Bible says. You say, I'm like, hey. And if you're not careful, all right, you doing the right thing, all right, we think you are actually doing the wrong thing. You know, I'm sorry to say this. You know, when I first came to Cape, I was thinking in my mind, you know, there was a time I almost felt, I was asking myself that, am I truly in this generation? I have to check the Bible, because every time the Bible uses the word generation, which is genia, it's usually a 40-year span or 100-year span or a space of time. Don't worry, I'll teach you that when we do eschatology. So I said, I'm not 40 yet. I'm not 100 yet. Am I still sure I'm in this generation? Because this is 2020. Just 10 years ago, I was in the university and I knew how people used to shyly do things, if there's any English like that. But now, people are not shy to do. You see people leave their home, straight to their boyfriend's house after in school. I'm like, is it that when they are leaving home, their parents is sending them forth? I know this because I do evangelism. You all know. I have done evangelism this morning. I do evangelism. That's my core. It's my core subject, core course. And then you knock on door in the morning and the person say, wait. Why wait? A guy is inside. What is he doing in your house 6 a.m.? So it's becoming a norm. Do you know, last week I was brought on into a discourse. And the people were discussing that, how you go marry a person you never taste before? I'm like, taste. Is it soup? So you realize that in this generation, you need it. You need it. You need it. The Bible says the righteous Lot was vexed. It said his righteous soul was vexed because of the deeds of the people. You need it. And if it gets to a point where you think you need to take yourself out of that place, do, please. Get out of it. I remember one of our members one time said he wants to go and reach out to some Ashawo people. I say, only you, don't go, please. I have been there. When I was in university, so much zeal, I went to a brothel in Ife. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. They almost raped me. I'm serious. Lay hands on them, she fell under the power. And that's some supernatural intervention, I tell you, because of my ignorance. But I know now. That's why no wonder Jesus sent them out in twos. And you don't, in twos, it's not female and female. Male and male or male and female. So they don't overpower you. See, God, who created man, God, he said, the imagination of man is continuously evil. God, that created man. And you've got to be careful with your theology. Did you hear what I said? All those, yes, you are saved eternally. Yes, but don't write off instructions as in the epistle. Instructions like walk, instructions like pray. These are the unfinished works of Christ. Pray, walk, submit. You hear Paul say things like that. Refrain, flee. Those are not finished works of Christ, though. Those are the expected work, fruits of your righteousness. Yield to it. Don't give room to stuff like that. Don't put yourself in a bedroom situation. And that could be at the back of a car in the night. That could be in a dark place, in a club place. Don't do that. You have blood in your veins, brother. You are not immortal. Yet. This your body is not immortal yet. And interestingly, there are some people, don't worry, when we do eschatology, there are some set of people who believe that these are our bodies already immortal. And there's even a man of God I respect so much, who all through his life, he preached immortality. I preach immortality. Alright? In fact, that is the core, that is where our ministry is founded. I'm sure you know. Is now made manifest, you know now, by the appearing of our Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and what? Immortality. So we have immortality in our spirit. It will bear on our body when Jesus comes. It is not a reality yet, but we have it as a promise. The Bible calls it blessed hope. And Apostle Paul tells us to the church in Rome, he says, an hope, all right? That we know is hope, we patiently await. Do you see that? So we are waiting for that hope. He says, looking for the blessed hope. We are looking forward to it. You still have chemistry. Glory to God. So, let this perspective begins with you on the issue of temptation. Quit the blame and begin to see that it is not about the object of temptation. It's about the faulty inward disposition you have. And there is no other way to get healed of that one. It's by renewing your mind by the word. You keep hearing God's word again and again and again until it becomes a stronghold on your mind. And you naturally just can't find yourself doing or thinking about those things again. Because if it took you years to practice those things, it will also take you some time to get rid of them. I told you that up till last 2 years, sometimes I still find myself rapping 2 packs. I used to know all his songs, and I still have some of them, even up to now, still in my head. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? No, it was 3 years ago. I was at a movie with a friend, all right? And as we're seeing the movie, at a movie. And before it was our turn to go in to see the movie Adventura in Ibadan, no, it was 4 years ago. Then right there, they just played Tupac. When I was young, mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. You can see, it's still there, isn't it? I was gone until he tapped me and said, Pastor, say, Rabba Shakala, Rabba Shakala, Rabba Shakala. This mind renewal thing is consistent work. And that's the antidote. Glory to God. And here is the good news about temptation. Listen, each time you overcome a temptation, all right, there's a reward. And that's why Paul says to count it all joy. Look at it in James 1 verse 2. He says, consider it pure joy, brothers, when you are involved in various trials. Can you see? Verse 3, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Verse 4 now says, but you must let endurance, that word endurance means constancy, have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Then verse 5 says, now if any of you lack wisdom, that means if you lack the wisdom on how to approach neutral circumstances so that it won't lead into what you will call temptation. He says, if you lack wisdom, he says, ask God. Then verse 12 tells us, he says, how blessed is the man who endures temptation. He says, when he has passed the test. Can you see how he's using temptation and test in the same breath? They are one and the same. I told you, what makes it temptation is because of your own personal inward faulty disposition to that neutral circumstances. That means that circumstance that you are blaming on to be the cause of your falling into temptation is actually neutral. It was you that made it a temptation because you already had a faulty lust towards it. He now says, when he has passed the test, he calls it test. He says he will do what? He will receive the victor's crown of life that God has promised to those who keep on loving him. Glory to God. So the first thing is quit the blame. Own up that there's a lust in you already about it. And then work on it. That's why the most powerful scripture about this is Proverbs 4 verse 23 and Philippians 4 verse 8. He says, guard your heart. The word guard is from the Hebrew word natsah. N-A-T-S-A-R. Guard your heart. It's a military term. The same thing Paul too used to the church in Philippi. He says, and the peace of God will mount guard. The Greek word is garrison. Some of you, I went to a paramilitary school. I know what I'm talking about. He's talking about garrison, soldiers. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, with all the energy you can muster. He says, guard your heart, since from out of it are the issues of life. Powerful admonition right there. You got to guard your heart. You've got to, even the thing I told you, and the two best way to do this, be in charge on what you see and what you hear. You see, the Bible spoke about, in the book of 2 Peter 2 that we read in verse 8, he says, seeing and hearing those things which they do was vexed in his righteous soul. Seeing and hearing. I've told you my own private life. Where I was staying before, There was one night like that. Oh, my goodness. Before I left the compound, another compound was beside it, and there was a house there. The distance between their compound and the compound I was staying, when I first came into Kefi, was not much. All I was hearing was sound. I said, yeah, Jesus. I got up. I paced the floor. And that worried me for 2 weeks. I would go to sport and pray in tongues. Because I don't know. That's why I have respect, in quotes now, for people who can conveniently sit down and see movies like Game of Thrones, Spartacus. I have so much, in quotes, respect for them. It means that their threshold for sexual content is so high. I don't have such grace. And I'm not praying for such grace. I can't imagine how you will see Game of Thrones and the very next minute you are praying in tongues. How do you do it? I don't know. Maybe because I'm a prophetic vessel. I deal with pictures in my prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm praying in tongues. I'm seeing pictures. And those are my realities. That's how God speaks to me. That's how we get a flash. So imagine praying in tongues and I'm seeing those scenes. I visited a friend one time. Immediately she slaughtered it. Just the trailer. I wore my shoe and ran for my life. For 4 months. 4 months I was dealing with it. Just the trailer of Game of Thrones. And some people saw season 1, season 2, season 3. I all know you. That's why today my opera mini, my Google, I went to settings, filter store content. I put it on filter. If you check my phone and you type sex, 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 it will just give you videos of sex education. Filtered. I wish Mark Zuckerberg would just please do filter on Facebook. Because sometimes you can't filter these things. You just turn on Facebook, boom! That's why me, some people till today, I've refused to accept their friend request because I have 3 things I do. I'll go to your wall. The moment I see cleavage, there are sometimes Facebook will suggest, even from your name, it's Mado Boy. Immediately I see it, I just say, no, I don't even want to. It's your girl, sexy. Sex. You might think I'm becoming too petty, but leave me. Just leave me. It's for lying. Let me quickly round off quickly. Number 2. This is powerful. Your approach. Number 1, I said, quit the blame. Number 2 is very simple and it's powerful. Hey, look at me. Have a consistent prayer life. There is a cleansing characteristic of prayer that shields a man from temptation. Many a times when we read where Jesus said to the disciples, pray that ye enter into temptation, we assume he was telling them to pray against temptation. No! What Jesus was implying is simple. He is saying, pray so that you will not enter into temptation. In other words, when you pray, automatically, you will not fall into temptation. That's what he's saying. Prayer is our great security in this world of, vices that have the capacity to draw us into temptations. Prayer! When I see a Christian, who is always and consistently remaining in error, lying, fighting, backbiting, doing all sorts of vices, I know their problem. Check out, they've not been praying. Because you can't pray in tongues for 1 hour. It will sieve those things. You can't remain in error forever. For long. It's not possible. You make the first mistake, second mistake, third mistake. Abokina, one number mistake, Bani Okuma. You need a retreat. Did you hear what I said? Look at it. In Matthew 26 verse 41, Jesus says, watch and pray that... He didn't say pray that you should not walk into temptation. Mm-mm. A lot of people have read that scripture wrongly. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the subject of the discourse is prayer. But he introduces temptation to show you that these are some of the negative effects of not praying. Have you ever seen somebody who went to pray 4 hours, after praying 4 hours in tongues, then the next thing he goes to fornicate? How far? It's because, and listen to me, you've got to start this thing mechanically. I love Sweet Mingus' word. He says, if the spirit is not moving, I will move the spirit. And that's a man that has raised 17 dead. The recorded account of 17 dead bodies in his lifetime. He says, if the spirit is not moving, I will move the spirit. What he's trying to say is, I changed, I am the atmosphere. That's what he's saying. I can work miracles in it. I moved. That's what he's saying. You've got to have the same approach. You don't have to feel like you want to pray. Pray! Start mechanically. Start by setting an alarm. In no time, your body will adjust. You see, there's something I want to tell you. Listen, take advantage of technology in this area. You have Android phone, set alarm. Have a list of music that you listen to. Have worship. You know what I mean by worship in our contemporary use of it? Slow song. It doesn't mean that's worship song, but you know what I'm saying. So that it will just be going little by little. Little by little. And then, you know, you are waking up to a beautiful song. Not you are waking up to cassava fall on me, something fall on me. And that's why you create your dream life with these things. Because dreams are simply like unsettled issues in our mind or residue of thought and sound that has been stored up in our mind unknown to us. They are now replaced in our dream life like a script. That's what dreams are. And that's what the Bible calls multitude of business. In Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3. Guess what? Interestingly, Satan also sometimes introduces his own script. So for a believer, when you wake up from such dream, you rewrite the script, you change the directors, sack the actors, go back and dream again. Very simple. And how do you write the dream? Write the script again. Simple. Get God's word. Get all the scriptures about you in Christ. Say them over and over again and go back and sleep. Glory to God. Now let's flip the coin. How about playing a message before going to bed? I remember a lady was telling me one time, says, Pastor, anytime I'm listening to your tape and I go to bed and I leave it playing, I see you teaching me that same thing in my dream. I say, yeah, you got it. That's the way to go. I told somebody, I said, when I was in the university, particularly my year four, my penultimate year four, because I did a 5-year course, there is hardly no one day or every other day I see Egan in my dream. Papa Egan. At least every 2 days, every other day, I see Papa Egan. Do you know why? I'm sleeping, the message is playing. Now, faith is the subject of things hoped for. Praise the Lord. Now, Smith Mugglesworth says there is something about believing God. I've listened to Egan like, I don't know. Had all his tapes. Prayer is our security against temptation. And I hope this simple admonition has blessed you. So what Jesus is saying is not that you should pray against temptation. Oh God, let me know. He said, no, what he's saying is when you pray, the first thing I said I want to question in any believer's life who is consistent in error is their devotion, their prayer life. Because, I don't know, am I speaking to people here? How many of you have been praying? You are praying. Of a sudden while you are praying, are you listening to me? Then you are remembering those wrong things you did, and of a sudden in that place of prayer, they look very irritating to you. And you feel like, how did I even do that? And you are still praying. Like cobra. And you remember those things. And they feel so, the same thing that was attractive to you when you did it, now is irritating to you. That's the power of prayer. Prayer is our security against temptations. If you live a prayed life, a well-prayed life, if you live a revved life, if you live a fire life, hey! You can't stay continuously in error. In Yoruba, they say, Arotoba tutu, la dieman yesi. Sorry for the Hausa guys in this place. In other words, you know that place where they normally cook in the village? That round thing, they put three stones. Yoruba says that it is the cold one that hen goes in to lay eggs. The one that is hot, hen can't go there to lay eggs. If you stay fireful all the time, there's any English word like that, there is no way temptation will come your way and overcome you. You will always come on top. Stay prayed up. That is the antidote to temptation. Am I making sense? And that's why we have all sort of issues in marriage in our age today. Somebody has tried all the ladies. Tried them out. Now he's married. He wants the wife to be acting like all the five. He's on his wife, Veronica, but he's thinking of Shade. He's thinking of... That's why we have many issues in marriage today. People have become... who already have PhD in sex. Now marries a woman that probably she's just in nursery school in sex. So he wants her to be spinning like all the things he has been seeing in XXX rated movie. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. I pray that this truth that we have heard will yield in us the fruits of righteousness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I hope it blessed you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.